Meanwhile,
radios crackle.
KMUZ Turner.
Both near and far.
88.5 FM and 100.7 FM in Marion and Polk County.
With monstrous music.
Salem and Kaiser.
For a spooktacular.
Taking over the entire planet at KMUZ.org.
Mid Valley Mutations.
Halloween Spooktacular 2016!
A lot of making it up on the fly with a couple reference points. Awesome. And then a lot of the drone stuff is kind of looking forward to what I'm probably going to do next.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight we present Ghost Stories with Bob Bucko Jr. Audience participation is happening. 503-990-6101. Please give us your ghost stories. Let us know what's happened to you.
How do you do, boys and girls? My name is Alfred Hitchcock, and I'm delighted to find that you believe in ghosts too. After all, they believe in you, so it is only common courtesy and politeness to return the favor. As a matter of fact, I tell them human stories all the time. And they enjoy them immensely. Now, of course, the best way to listen to ghost stories is with the lights out. There is nothing like a dark room to attract ghosts. And you may like to have some of our mutual friends come and listen. Are the lights out? Good. Doors closed. Blinds drawn. Excellent. Don't worry about the ghosts getting in. They can slither through keyholes and under doors. Now just be quiet. Hear that slithering? Ah, good. Now that we're all here, we can begin. First of all, let me say that I have always been curious about those things which makes the average person's blood run cold with fear and horror. But then the average person becomes upset over such simple things as a door opening, footsteps in the hall, an ordinary owl, and they make such a fuss over simple things like the fluttering of a bird's wing. Girl's voice on a summer evening. Or for that matter, a dripping faucet, as we seem to have here. But you and I are above these things. However, it might be best for me to get a wrench and turn that water off completely. While I'm doing that, why don't you listen to the first story?
And yes, you are listening to Mid-Valley Mutations here on KMUZ. And we're telling ghost stories tonight as part of our Halloween Spooktacular 2016. So give us a call, 503-990-6101. Tell us your ghost story. Tell us something that happened to you. You know, were you in that line you just heard Machine and the Ghost by Tholem. And then, you know, we started out with a little excerpt from Eradicator by Sex Funeral off of the side A of that tape, actually. If I am not mistaken, I think we have a caller on the line right now. Hello, caller, are you there?
I am here.
Yes. You want to tell us who you are?
Yeah, my name's Jason. I'm a DJ with the station.
Oh, Jason! Yeah, Geekly Update.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm doing good. Happy Spooktacular to you.
Yes, and a happy Spooktacular to you as well. Thank you for calling in. Now, we're telling ghost stories here on the show. Do you happen to have a scary story you want to share with us?
I do. I don't know how scary. It's just not. It's a story I haven't been able to tell yet on the air. So hopefully everything will go okay tonight.
Okay.
But as you may know, but your audience might not know, is that my show used to be on at the same time slot at the 10 o'clock hour and on Friday nights. And one night we were getting done with the show. We had had some guests and some other hosts there, and they had all gone. And I was wrapping up the show, shutting down the board, turning off the lights, moving the board to automation, and as you do at the end of the night, we were the last show of the night going into the weekend.
Right.
And I was going in to pull the show from the recordings and shut things down. And you know, at the end of the night, it can get kind of, you sense the loneliness there. You know, like you're the only one in the station left. You probably have felt that leaving, you know, Friday night at 11 o'clock.
Usually I'm here with my wife, but this is a rare exception. This is the one time I'm here by myself alone. She's not with
me. Maybe this will be a cautionary tale to you then.
Well, yeah.
I was by myself. And
I've been hearing some noises, but, you know, it's been otherwise pretty quiet. But
that's good.
Yeah, we'll see.
But as I was leaving, you know, you kind of get that sense of, like, I'm here by myself. I think I need to get home. So I started to head out, shut off the lights, and I turned around and noticed that the on-air light was still on, the glowing red light,
right,
which tells me I maybe screwed something up and didn't turn off what I needed to turn off, or something was going on. I mean, I didn't see anybody go in, and there's no show after me, so that light shouldn't be on. So I run and I go to the control room to hopefully get everything set back up on automation, and then I noticed that the door to the control room is closed as well, which would seem odd. I wouldn't normally close that door. So I go to open the door, and it gives out this screech like no other. Like, I thought, oh, geez, I hope that's not over the air. And sitting there at the control board is this old man, and his eyes instantly glare at me for that noise that had just gone on over the air. And I thought, well, there shouldn't have been somebody here. And I got, you know, I think I just screwed up this guy's show. So I closed the door really quick, and I got out of there. And later, as I was thinking about it, and as I was going home, I thought, well, there's no show on after us.
Right.
And so I asked around. I asked some of the other DJs, you know, what is this? Who would be in, you know, in the studio after me? And they said, well, there used to be a show, you know, but it would be impossible that he would be there doing this show. And I said, why is that impossible? Well, he had died several years ago, and in a car accident going to a show, and he never got to broadcast that last show. And so, I went back to go try to see if I could get the recording of what was being broadcast that night, and it's gone. I can't find anything on it.
Wait, there's no record?
There's no record at all.
Weird.
And, you know, like I said, I've tried to tell this story several times before, and every time I've tried to do it on air, something's happened. You know, there's been something that, you know, the power goes out, or you know, the mics go off, or some technical glitch. And so I'm glad that I finally get to tell you this. And maybe now we're able to investigate this thing. And I hope that you don't run into this scenario and come across this guy tonight, you know, because it was around this time that something like this.
Jason? 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 Hello? Oh. Wow. While we get reset here, this is KMUZ, you're listening to Mid-Valley Mutations, and let's put this on.
I've been thinking the past few minutes. It's interesting to note how being afloat makes one thought. A soothing motion, I suppose. At any rate, I was thinking that perhaps it might not be a good idea for you to listen to too many ghost stories. For instance, this is the sort of thing that could possibly happen.
Right, caller, go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Well, first of all, I just want to thank you for doing this because, you know, with Art Bell, like, kind of going into hiding or whatever he's doing, you're kind of it.
Yeah, there's not a lot of outlet for this kind of thing.
Yeah, no, I mean, I realize that, you know, there's the fake Art Bell, but you're not really trying to be him, so.
Right.
So it's great to be able to have some... ghost stories in action. So mine goes back to when I was living in Olympia, and I lived in for a time in this one room shack. It was like just the perfect little kind of bachelor place. You know, the house that I rented had no room for anyone but me. The only thing that kind of sucked was the bathtub. Like you had to kind of like fill it with boiled water from the sink in order to get it to hold the hot water and fill up. But I mean, it was just a tiny little place, but it was perfect. And it was me and my cat Biko lived there. Mm. And Biko was like the closest animal friend that I have ever had or will ever have. He was very much like a familiar. He'd been through a divorce with me and just every big traumatic experience in my life for like, I don't know, 10 years at that point, he'd been there with me. And, we moved into this place together from having lived out on the Elbe Inlet and this big dilapidated mansion with a bunch of people, but you had to live with a bunch of people and had some of the horrible roommate things that go with that. And we lived in this whole place. And at the time, I was a DJ, and I was kind of living a life where you know, different people might be staying over with me at different nights. And oddly, this weird thing started to happen where the house, which was really airtight, like I'm saying, this was a tiny little shack, was completely airtight, but like Biko would keep being on the other side of where he was supposed to be. He'd be outside the house when I was sure that I had gone to bed and he was inside, and I'd come home when he'd been inside the house, and he'd be out. And in both cases, this should be impossible. And I looked around. I could never find a hole or any way he could do it. And it would almost seem like I was imagining it, except that there were always people there with me when it came up that could kind of witness that it was going on, and it was just bizarre. I mean, how was my cat going through walls?
Right.
And he kept acting kind of weird, and I kept getting this weird vibe, like from like just somebody else being there in the house. And not so much somebody, but something. Like, it didn't really feel like there were just weird kind of ghosty things that happened, bag moving by itself, you know, oddly, and coming home and things arranged differently, but never anything like, I was more interested than scared. But then one day I went out and came home, and Biko had been having some kidney failure, and he'd been throwing up.
Oh no.
And he lived about, after this whole incident, another 5 or 6 months. You know, it was definitely an older cat, and it was coming to his end. But I came home, and I'd left out the stack of CDs sitting on a table, and the CDs had been made into like a sculpture with cat vomit.
Oh no.
And it was inside the CDs too, and it was just like this disgusting, like gross, like thing on my table, and it's like it's not something that the cat could have done,
and something normally part of CDs either.
Yeah, you remember that scene in The Wall where Pink like smashes up his hotel room and then reconstructs it all into this weird art piece with his blood all over in it.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like that. A lot like that. I mean, it was chaotic, but it was constructed, and it was disgusting. I mean, it was cat vomit, and,
right.
and it was like my CDs, which as a DJ at that time were pretty important, we just destroyed, I managed to keep. We cleaned a bunch of them up. But it just at that point, I'd gone from feeling kind of like I had this ghost creature, whatever it was. And I'd been kind of thinking of it as a pet ghost. I'd gone from thinking of it as like a weird roommate sort of situation to like, no, he's really screwing with me.
Right.
That's malicious. And I couldn't take it. And I was just like, that's just really creepy. You know, I can't come home to stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
And up to that point, I felt like, okay, you know, the cat going through the wall, and no big deal and everything. But so I had a friend who was really into magic. And I was and am on several levels still a skeptic about this stuff. You know, it just doesn't make any rational sense. And I used to always scoff at everything that he said about this stuff, but I thought, you know, I need some help.
Fair enough.
So I had him come over and he did this binding thing. And even as he was doing it, it seemed to me like the most ridiculous freaking thing in the world. I'm wanting to laugh about it, but when he had me and my other friend, who was over, stand back in the driveway and went into the house, and he made this ridiculous high-pitched sound. But when he did, like a screech that he made with his voice and he was doing some kind of smudging thing, but when he did, like there was a loud crash and something fell off the wall.
Hmm.
And lo and behold, the thing never really came around again after that.
Hmm.
And like I said, I mean, I wanted to laugh about it, but it worked.
Here's the thing is that you can't deny results.
Right, and next door to this house, there where my neighbor lived, who was this nice lady who lived there, the two properties were owned by the same people and adjoined, and there was really no fence or anything between. And in her property, there was this little grave, and it said "for baby" on it and had a date, She had said she thought it was a pet grave, and that makes sense to me. I mean, if it's a baby's grave, that's even weirder.
That's a good point.
Baby's a pretty common thing that people call their cats.
Absolutely.
And I think it was a cat grave right there by the house where we had these weird, beastie little incidents.
Wow.
What
a crazy story.
And I feel kind of like maybe, you know, Biko being on his last leg, maybe this creature was aware of that and was trying to get my attention about it.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say because, you know, it's animals are always reacting to things that we're not necessarily aware of.
Right, and it's hard enough to imagine what an animal's like, but then what is a spirit animal like? You know, I talk about a consciousness that is quite different from ours.
Exactly. Well, do you want to tell people who you are and how they can find you? And thank you very much for your call.
Sure. This is Ricardo Wang, and... you know, Austin and I go way back. He is the guy who got me on radio in Oregon, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Over at KPSU, where I still am from. For the past 13 years.
Yeah,
27. I've lost track. But doing this program, What's This Called, which is on at noon tomorrow on KPSU.org.
Yeah,
and we've got a. Tuna Can Jones is coming in from out of town, and we'll probably be doing some Halloween themed stuff. So.
Oh, fun! Well, say hi to Tuna Can for me.
I will. Thank you very much for doing the show. You always do like the most awesome kind of, you know, you do a whole month of Halloween.
I try to anyway.
Tonight, so.
Yeah. Well, thanks for calling, man. It's good to hear you, and I'm glad that the ghost is taken care of now.
Yeah. Well. At least that one.
Indeed. Well, take care.
Good night.
Mid-Valley Mutations.
Halloween Spooktacular 2016!
Tonight we present Ghost Stories with Bob Bucko Jr.
I'm listing rather heavily to the starboard side, and unless I can paddle my way to the kitchen,
how does he ghost?
I may not be with you much longer. Well, at any rate, whilst I attempt this intricate naval maneuver, here's a story.
How does he ghost, or surely bring them to you? This part of the book is for children who were born in the morning or around lunchtime. If you were born at midnight, some say just at twilight, you were probably born with the gift of being able to see ghosts and other spirits and don't have to be told how. Of course, all cats, dogs, horses, and roosters can see ghosts, but lots of people cannot see ghosts, even though they can usually hear them. And lots of people don't believe in ghosts because they say they never saw one. So anyone who wants to see a ghost, here's how. If you really mean it, if you really want to see a ghost, go walk around a grave 12 times backward, and the ghost will rise and ask you what you want. Some people say that just walking around the grave will raise the ghost, and some say you have to do it backward 12 times. Or if you want to summon some one particular ghost, go to his grave at night and call him by name. He will rise and tell you what you want to know. Some ghosts can be summoned by music. If you sing or play some piece of music or some special musical instrument that someone loved, especially during life, the ghost will come to see you. Some people say that you can raise a ghost by whistling. You might. And you might not. It has happened. Once a man was walking along a road at night, whistling some tune, and a ghost fell into step beside him, whistling the same tune. You can call back some loved ghost by too much grief and weeping. Almost any ghost will come back to comfort those they love and stop their weeping. The poor souls cannot rest if you weep too much. They will come back and beg you to let them rest. You can become a ghost seer by looking in through a hole in a coffin. This is especially true in some far northern countries, like Lithuania, for instance, where people leave little windows in the coffin so the dead can see out. You can see ghosts and spirits by peering at them from between a dog's ears. It is well known that dogs can see ghosts. So if you look steadily from between a dog's ears in the direction the dog is looking, you will see the same ghost he sees. You can see ghosts sometimes if you gaze steadily through a ring. If you look through a keyhole, you'll either see a ghost or the devil. In fact, there's no telling what you might see. Better not. Just say you aren't scared. Just say how brave and nonchalant you'd be if you ever saw a ghost. See what happens.
And you are listening to Mid-Valley Mutations, and we are telling ghost stories tonight as part of our Halloween Spooktacular 2016. And with me on the phone, we have none other than Bob Bucko Jr. How's it going there, sir?
Hey, what's up, man?
Not much. We're just listening to some personal archives tracks and telling some scary stories.
That sounds spooky, man. Yeah.
Yeah, we had a little bit of Arvo Zylo earlier from that the tape you put out.
Yeah, that's perfect. He did a show with you last week, didn't he?
He did. A bunch of spooky, scary Halloween songs, which was very cool. And then we had a little sex funeral, which we've been digging around the station.
Cool. Yeah, there's some news on that front. So.
Oh yeah,
working on new stuff. Yeah.
Is that the news?
Well, we just recently had a CD released on a label called Forbidden Place, which is out of Denver, and we're looking at maybe doing a personal archives release on 10-inch vinyl for something we recorded at the end of our last tour. So
nice. Now, you guys have done some tapes and CDs, but is this the first vinyl?
That would be, yeah. It would actually be the first proper vinyl press on personal archives as well. We've done some lathe runs, but never pressing. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I remember when I first met you, you were like all tapes. So
yeah, it's kind of it's what people want to do. You know, like this year it seems like there's been a fair amount of CDs. The Dead Air Freshener CD just came out, which is fantastic.
Yeah,
I have. What's up?
Oh, I should probably say, full disclosure, I perform with that group.
Oh, full disclosure, I had a little something to do with it too, but...
Right.
But it's pretty dang cool anyway.
Yeah, no, it sounds really good.
And the next release on the label is actually going to be a CD as well, Vernacular String Trio, which is a... upright bass, cello, violin, free improv trio out of St. Louis that I've had the fortune of playing with a few times, and I'm really excited to get to do some of their stuff. So
nice. Yeah.
Keep moving.
Now, this is something that I think, for people who might not know you, you've got a few different bands, this label where you're constantly like negotiating new releases and whatnot. And then if you look at your page, like you're touring a lot. We were promoting your tour not too long ago.
I just have
a lot of energy.
Finished up. What's that?
You have a lot of energy.
It's something. I mean, you just gotta keep doing stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the stuff I like to do, so I'd rather do that than work doubles all week or something. But
right.
Yeah.
Punching the clock.
I just got back from tour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, finished up tour this past Monday. It was a 27-day run, so
it
was fantastic. And I'll lay low for the next 2 months after tonight.
Catch up on some sleep.
kind of need to. And then in 2 months, around the new year, I'll be going out with another group I play with called Venereal Crush.
Nice.
We're kind of a drone improv thing, so...
Yeah. Well, the times that I've seen you, and then just based on the records that you've put out and stuff, you very much pursue this kind of improvisational style of music. It comes from a tutored background. You obviously know chords and things, but you're very much, like, of the moment. Is that something was an intentional choice by you, or did you just kind of find yourself there?
That probably just happened on its own. It's funny, the mental stuff that goes with it is what I've had to think about and work on later,
Interesting.
Because in music, improvisation, you're living in the moment, and that's kind of everything, whether it's Buddhist thought or cognitive behavioral therapy or whatever, everyone's always telling you, exist in that moment, and that's where your happiness is.
Right.
And with music, that happens.
Yeah,
cool.
You do get lost in those moments.
Yeah, even like working on recordings. I have a couple albums in the can coming out on some different labels next year. Still, in talks, blah, 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 whatever. But like stuff that's more like synth pop and gothy and weird, goofy, lots of...
Ooh.
So it's all structured recordings, but it's still... the writing process is improvisational. I was just working on something right before I called you. And it's just, I mean, I have no idea how this stuff happens. And I like that. I don't want to learn, you know?
Right. There's kinda something
like,
kind of
like
magic.
Half Japanese, you know?
Oh, yeah, like totally.
Half Japanese with guitars. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like when I watched that video of David Fair explaining how to play guitar, I felt like I should never have learned anything, damn it.
You know, I've had a similar experience with that, too, because, like, you know, the more I know, like, I keep going, like, I feel like I've lost something here. Like, there was something magical about the 90s where I picked up a bass and didn't know how to tune it and was like, what is this thing, you know?
That, like, I think there is a way to unlearn. And sometimes it's nice to have, like, a background.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, like, you know, I went to school, did theory, blah, 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 like, kind of stuff. And it's nice because it can inform what I'm doing without making me do things.
Right, right, right. You kind of understand.
But that's
stuff.
Unlearning.
Yeah. No, that's a good point, too, because, like, I do feel like I get a little more clever as I get older, you know, like, you know, I kind of notice, like,
it's all baby stuff.
Right, right, right. Like, I don't fall into the repetitive cliches as much as I used to, you know.
Well, that was, I may have told you the story before, but I was in a bad accident about 4.5 years ago and, you know, shredded all the tendons in my left hand. So that's, you know, for you. Play notes where you fret.
Right.
And up until that point, I'd just kind of been doing, you know, hack work and, like, country bands and, you know, stuff that was fun, but it was like, okay, cool, I can play fancy, great.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I ripped my hand open, it was like, oh, I have to, you know, I immediately decided I wasn't going to stop playing, but it was like, oh, I have to play honestly now. Like, I had this whole bag of tricks and I can't do any of them.
Right, right. You kind of,
you know, so that was like that was a forced unlearning.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, you know, you do end up like kind of relying on certain things that you become good at, and then when that's taken away from you, wow, that's a good humbling moment.
Yeah, definitely, and freeing. Mm. I mean, that was what I was able to take away that was positive.
Right, right. There's, like, you know, now you can,
like, that's about the time. You know, while I was convalescing, that's when I got the label going. That's when I decided I was going to do computer music and started doing that. Like, it was, you know, you kind of, it's like, what are you going to do? Give up? Like, just push harder.
Yeah, like, you know, it's not like anyone's there cracking the whip saying, like, well, you got to stop now.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No one's paying attention. That's the beautiful thing about it all.
It's another way of putting it. Well, you know, we should mention where we can find some of this music, because, like, I've been playing the Crank Spirit and the Sex Funeral on the show, and I should mention that every time I play Sex Funeral, people always say, like, that is the best name ever.
Yeah, we got retweeted by the guy that runs Tabs Out. It was, I forget the names of the other band, but it was a list of three bands. We were one of them, and the caption was, these are actual band names.
Nice. When you can finger that Zeitgeist, you know, like, you know you're onto something. So, let's see. Now, if I'm not mistaken, it's a personalarchives.bandcamp.com for the kind of label stuff. Yep.
Yeah, that's where you can find everything for the label. The vast majority of it is free downloads.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to check something out, and or if it's totally out of print, once it goes out of print, I just always put stuff up there for free.
Right. And then you have stuff under your own name, too. That's a separate page.
Yeah, and that would be bobbuckojr.bandcamp.com.
Mm-hmm.
So... yeah, that covers. So that way, I'll have releases I've had on other labels or links to the labels that are hosting them, things like that, just so it's kind of a, it's kind of a weird librarian kind of, archiving aspect that Bandcamp is really good for, like curatorial stuff.
You can look back on the past and go like, oh yeah, I did do this. And
yeah, I get some weird reminders sometimes.
Yeah. That's how I feel about my old zines, is like, oh, like, oh yeah, 2004. Oh, wow. Yeah, I remember that year now. Well, you know, we're telling ghost stories on the show, and we had kind of discussed this idea of maybe doing like the ghosts of your tour, but then you said that you maybe even had a ghost story that you wanted to share. Are you still interested?
I mean, it won't be a good one.
You know, it's ghost stories come in every variety.
Setting matters, and the weirdest part about it has nothing to do with ghosts, but. I was on tour in 2010, and it was kind of a nicer tour than I'm used to. We were, you know, put up in hotels for free type stuff.
Oh,
and,
wow.
You know, that's my norm, is to sleep on someone's floor. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I was enjoying this. But then we got to Manhattan, and we stayed at the Chelsea Hotel the year before they turned it into condominiums.
Whoa.
So, yeah. So it was like perfect time. It was crazy too. I hadn't been to New York for almost 10 years before I was there for this. And, it was like all of Midtown was like Whole Foods and Starbucks. It was like, wow, how'd this happen?
Wow.
You know, like,
it has changed.
I mean, you know, it was never, you know, a terrible, terrible place, but it was a little more gritty and interesting than, you know, Frappuccinos every block.
Right.
But anyway, But the Chelsea, however, had not changed.
I see.
When we were checking in, there's a elderly woman, you know, kind of like the classic, you know, like the, you know, pantyhose, like, you know, down to the knee, you know, the stockings, like, you know, bent over old lady.
Right.
Pushing a cart, you know. And it was like, oh, I bet she has, like, rent control. Like, she's been living there since, like, Leonard Cohen was hitting on Nico.
Right.
You know?
That's and hilarious.
There were many characters like that in that place.
Wow.
Like, it was really... You know, that was kind of the ghostly part as well, is it was just this time capsule. And just imagining that, you know, this was like a flop house for fantastic people and total miscreants,
right,
all at the same time.
Yeah. Buildings have that way of kind of like carrying like the ghosts of the past.
They hold that energy.
Yeah.
They really do. Like, I hate, you know, it's all these things that I like, oh, that sounds like a hippie thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, oh, wow, man. Like, it is true.
Right.
Probably true. They're right. They just listen to bad music. I don't know.
Isn't that always the case? Sooner or later, they're right. They just have bad taste.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
But we, myself and the guitar player, I was playing bass, had a room. And so it was kind of this, you walked into the corridor down like off to the side of the hallway, and there were three rooms. So one directly in front of you, one to the left, one to the right.
Mm-hmm.
We were to the left, right in front of the one in front of us, like directly ahead, was a suitcase.
Hmm.
Just, you know, there in the lobby.
Hanging out.
And then we, you know, when we came back out of the room later, we noticed it was still there. Next day, because we were playing a couple shows in like Manhattan and Brooklyn and stuff, it was still there. And we're like, what the fuck? You know, I kind of grab it, and it's like there's nothing in it, but it's the fact that anything would remain in this building untouched seemed what was so weird.
Right. Like, as soon as anyone's not looking.
The first thing was like, ha ha, is that a bomb? The second day, it's like, why is that not...
Mm-hmm.
Like, why hasn't that been stolen yet? And it was still there when we checked out, which was really strange. But
interesting.
The kind of, you know, like you said, you know, buildings kind of retain these, you know, feelings, whatever they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was I wasn't sleeping much, and in the middle of the night, while my roommate, you know, for the stay was crashed out, I was sitting at a table and just kind of leaning back on the chair, you know, tilt back a little, and I had this feeling and this kind of like faint visual that this thing was between the table and me. This, like, it's like they call them orbs, right? Like, again,
mm-hmm.
Stupid hippie, just dumb stuff, but it was like this very real moment where there was this kind of thing that was in the room and just kind of informing me, you know, what was going on there. I don't know. It's
sounds all too, like, you know, dumb psychedelic. But, yeah, so no Ooga Booga Ghost, no...
Well, still...
It's down the hall, Scooby-Doo style.
But unexplained experiences,
like,
man.
I felt energy.
Yeah.
There was energy there.
Yeah. Well...
And just privileged to get to stay in a place like that. You know, I usually don't attach a lot of value to... You know, like, hey, I know someone famous, or I was at this place. But
right.
It's like, you know, when something has that kind of
history,
it is really, you know, it's like going to Gettysburg.
Right.
You know, you feel all that. You might not see, like, some guy charging at you that disappears into the wind, but, like,
it feels
surreal.
Like it.
There's a lot of thoughts going on.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that, you know, any story like that is worth sharing on our show. So, you know, thanks for calling in. Now, I want to say, you know, we've been loving the records, so you want to check them out on Bandcamp. And if you like what you are hearing, you can kick a few dollars to Bob's direction. Anything else before we close out the call?
Probably not really, yeah. Just, you know, Venereal Crush Tour is going to be in the Midwest and Rockies at the end of the year through early New Year, and then I'm planning to hopefully hit the West Coast again
nice.
Sometime in the spring.
Yeah, because it's been a while since
solo,
I've seen you,
so it'll be great to meet up with you again.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, take care, enjoy the winter gestation period, and you know, hopefully you don't run into too many more ghosts.
Oh yeah, last thing, so the album I'm working on right now is a tribute to an emperor of Rome, and it's called When Rome Beat Caligula, and it's going to be a disco record, so
nice.
Look out for that one.
Oh man, I will play a disco record on my show, apparently. Fantastic. Cool. Well, thanks
right.
for calling, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Austin.
Yeah, take care.
Later, man.
Mid-Valley Mutations.
Halloween Spooktacular 2016!
Tonight we present Ghost Stories with Bob Bucko Jr.
Watch out. Don't turn around. There may be something behind you.
And that's right, you are listening to Mid-Valley Mutations here on KMUZ, and we're telling some ghost stories. Thank you very much, Bob, for calling in, and Ricardo Wang and Jason for calling in earlier. You know, if you have a ghost story, you want to give us a call, 503-990-6101. We've been having a lot of fun telling some ghost stories and having some kind of supernatural experiences. And we've got another caller, actually. How's it going out there?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing?
Not bad. And do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Patrick. Patrick Gundren.
Yeah.
And Uneasy Chairs.
Yeah. You're going to be on the show soon.
Yeah, November 11th.
Yeah.
That'll be cool.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, me too, actually. I'm not only excited about you playing on the show, but then the night before, we're going to see you play live here in Salem.
Yeah, like, I didn't really know, like, how much experimental or noise stuff that happens in Salem, but I thought it'd be fun to set up something down there. And, I'm going to be at the space, and it's going to be with Justin Smith, who's, like, this amazing kind of noisy violin player. And
Devil's Club.
Devil's Club.
Yeah.
What the hell am I talking about?
That's okay.
And then Remy Knoll, who's
Yeah.
Basically, Jeremy Long. He's going to be doing some drone stuff, so that'll be really cool.
It's been a while since I've seen him, so I'm kind of excited about that.
I am too. He's saying this will be kind of a slight change for him, a little noisier, so it should be kind of cool.
Nice, yeah. Well, you know, Salem's ready for it, I think.
Salem can use some noise.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I mean, I can only bring an hour or so a week, so, you know, we need other people to bring as much as we can.
We need everybody to step up and play their part. Definitely.
Exactly. Noise begins at home.
It does.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't expect other people to just do it for you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so, you know, we had been talking, and, you know, a couple people have already touched on this on the show, but, you know, as fans of the Art Bell program, there's not really a place for these kind of supernatural experience stories in the public sphere. And so, you know, this is the perfect opportunity this time of year. People are already kind of thinking about, you know, the night and scary things and... and you had mentioned that you had a ghost story that you wanted to share, and I'm kind of excited. What do you got?
Well, I grew up in the Willamette Valley in Salem, and there's actually a lot of pretty creepy towns around Salem. if you one of our things I used to do a lot growing up is drive around out in the country, and there's just a lot of old pioneer like cemeteries and churches, and it's pretty creepy. But like. One story I was thinking about was, I think it was around 1992, about, and I had been living in Salem at the time, and my friend Jeremy Wilson, he was the singer in Dharma Bones, and he's a really great singer, songwriter guy, and the Dharma Bones had just broken up, and he was staying with his family. They live in Scotts Mills, which is kind of like by Silverton. I think it's like maybe like a half hour or so out of Salem. But that whole area is pretty kind of creepy. It's got a lot of energy, Mount Angel.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of old, I want to say there was like a lot of old, kind of like actually like Indian burial type stuff. I mean, it's a lot of old energy out there.
Certainly.
But we were getting together for a while and doing demos and stuff after the Dharma Bones broke up at his parents' place. And his father built this amazing house himself. It's like kind of all natural wood and just way out in the middle of nowhere. But I used to go out there in the middle of the night, like pretty late at night, and we'd do demos on the four track. And this one night we were working on the song, and Jeremy was doing vocals, and I ended up going into the living room, which next door, like next to the room, and I could hear him in there working on vocals and going back and forth and overdubbing, and I was just kind of sitting out in the living room, just kind of, I don't know what I was doing, but I kept hearing, like, every once in a while, I hear this, like knock on the ceiling, like, over his head, and he had headphones on, you know, so he kept working, and I was just like, I don't know, maybe his parents came home, and they were like, you know,
keep it down.
I think it was, like maybe 10 o'clock at night or something, but so I didn't really think that much about it, and then a couple minutes later, I hear, like, hear it again, you know, and it's sort of a little bit more insistent, you know, and I'm sort of getting kind of worried, like, maybe his dad is going to get really upset and come down soon. But I wanted Jeremy to keep working on the song, you know, so he's in there overdubbing his vocal and blah, blah, blah. Another couple minutes go by, and again, it's like on the ceiling, just like, just this rapping. It's just like, you know, you can just feel it's like sort of annoyed, you know?
Right.
And so finally I go into the bedroom, and I'm like, hey, Jeremy, you know, I think we need to cut it out because your dad or somebody's like knocking on the ceiling, like they're just like wanting us to keep it down. And he has his headphones off, and he's like, "What? I'm like, your father or somebody is banging on the ceiling, wanting us to quit." And he's like, he looks at me like I'm totally crazy, and he's like, "There's nothing above us." Like, and I'm like,
whoa,
what? And he's like, yeah, there's this part of the house, there's nothing above us. And like, because the house was a two-story house, except for his bedroom kind of jutted out from it. So there was like no bedroom, nothing above us. And this whole time,
weird,
I was listening to somebody knock. And I think there might have been maybe nobody even home, actually.
Wow.
So that pretty much gave me the creeps. And it was, I think it was a full moon out, too. And I had to get in my car and drive back to Salem, like, in the middle of the night.
Oh, no.
And that whole countryside is, it's very creepy out there. It's a really creepy countryside. So, yeah, that was amazing. A really weird, bizarre thing that kind of stuck with me for a long time.
Yeah. Well, having grown up in rural Oregon, in Cottage Grove and the area around there, like, I totally know what you're talking about. Like, there are places where you're walking around and you feel like this, like, it's the energy of the forest from who knows how long ago, you know?
Yeah, it's like being in an H.P. Lovecraft book or something. Like,
yeah.
It's like, they'll just be like a really weird alien off energy happening.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's still there. Like, I go down to Salem still every once in a while, and it's just got a weird edge to it. I don't know.
Yeah, well, if you ever do any of the trolling of like the small towns, or just, you know, driving around back and forth between places, yeah, you get to see some of these weirder parts of Oregon.
Yeah, I've had a few kind of weird paranormal experiences out in the countryside of in Oregon down there, and it's like, it's just, there's a lot of really strange energy.
Ah.
So yeah, definitely.
Well, you know, this subject is so good, we might have to do it 2 weeks in a row. So if you got more stories, by all means, give us a call next week, because we might be able to go another hour.
Okay, yeah. I don't want to scare anybody too much, though.
I think we're doing okay. We're keeping it pretty pretty safe for radio.
Nothing too gory.
Yeah. So November 11th, tune in for an Uneasy Chairs performance on this program. You're all over the interwebs and the band camps and whatnot. Check out his music.
Yeah, I'm all over the place. Yeah. You don't have to search hard, really. Yeah. I made it easy for everybody.
And in fact, I should also plug my new favorite podcast, Doris Day or Die, which is one of the few experimental noise music podcasts, aside from, well, maybe mine and What's This Called?
Yeah. Well, thank you for helping me set it up. It was, it's been a lot of fun, kind of therapeutic. I actually was working on it a little bit today. I called in sick from work. And
there's nothing better than being sick and making podcasts.
it was kind of therapy for me a little bit. But yeah, it's all basically like live recordings or just weird stuff that I'm directly or loosely connected with.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun.
It's a slice of music that you don't get to hear a lot of, and it's in iTunes. It's an hour. It's worth your time. I really do recommend it.
You really won't hear most of it anywhere else. I mean, it's pretty rare, weird stuff. So
yeah,
I don't even really explain it too much. Really, the one I'm working on episode 4 right now, and it's more me talking a little bit. So there's a little bit more information, but generally, the first 3 episodes are me and my coworker. I've been like sort of taping us having like just random conversations, and then splicing it up with some weird noise. So
nice.
Yeah. I kind of expect the listener to just go with it.
Right. Well, that's a pretty admirable thing to ask of a lot of listeners, you know, is
I ask a lot. I demand a lot.
But it's worth it. It's so worth it. Cool. Well, you know, thanks for calling in. It's always good talking to you.
Yeah, the show's been really fun. I've been loving all the stories.
Yeah, nice. Well, hopefully we got energy for more next week.
So. Yeah, definitely. I can't wait.
Cool. Well, take care, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
KMUZ Turner, 88.5 FM and 100.7 FM in Marion and Polk County, Salem and Kaiser. Taking over the entire planet at KMUZ.org.
It looks like we got another call here. Caller, go ahead.
This is the Mid-Valley Mutations weather computer, and I'm calling because I have a ghost story.
Oh, well...
And the weather.
Go ahead and tell your story. Thank you, weather computer. Go ahead, caller.
Thank you, Austin. Here's a look at the local weather, brought to you by my ghost story. This was back when the cool thing was to hang out on BBSS and chat into the wee hours of the night. However, as we were about to get into the heavy flirting, we noticed that someone was disconnecting us from the interface one user at a time. Tonight, a shower or two possible this evening, with partly cloudy skies overnight. Low of 46 degrees. Winds south at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain 30%. Sunrise at 7:36 a.m. We weren't even sure if the people were just experiencing a bad phone connection, or if something foul was afoot. Tomorrow, intervals of clouds and sunshine. High of 63 degrees. Winds light and variable. Psst. That means they just gave up trying to measure them. And psst. Sunset at 6:14 p.m. Why, I've barely had my supper by then. Outrageous, I say. Anyway, we all contacted the head sysop in our area, but his response to the group board was merely cryptic. I didn't even have the chat feature enabled. I don't know what you're talking about. Some say they still get disconnected occasionally to this very day. And that was the local weather, brought to you by my ghost story. As chilling now as it was when it actually happened to me. Anyway, thanks for taking my call. Long time, first time.
Oh, thank you, weather computer.
Back to Mid-Valley Mutations.
Well, that's about going to do it for us this week, and, wait, hello? Who is... Is there somebody here? What's... Hello? Who are you the next DJ? What's going... Hey! What's going on? Hey!
Mid-Valley Mutations.
A wireless message. In the summer of 1896, Mr. William Holt, a wealthy manufacturer of Chicago, was living temporarily in a little town of central New York, the name of which the writer's memory has not retained. Mr. Holt had trouble with his wife, from whom he had parted a year before. Whether the trouble was anything more serious than incompatibility of temper, he is probably the only living person that knows. He is not addicted to the vice of confidences. Yet, he has related the incident herein set down to at least one person without exacting a pledge of secrecy. He is now living in Europe. One evening, he had left the house of a brother whom he was visiting for a stroll in the country. It may be assumed, whatever the value of the assumption in connection with what is said to have occurred, that his mind was occupied with reflections on his domestic infelicities and the distressing changes that they had wrought in his life. Whatever may have been his thoughts, They so possessed him that he observed neither the lapse of time nor whither his feet were carrying him. He knew only that he had passed far beyond the town limits and was traversing a lonely region by a road that bore no resemblance to the one by which he had left the village. In brief, he was lost. Realizing his mischance, he smiled. Central New York is not a region of perils, nor does one long remain lost in it. He turned about and went back the way he had come. Before he had gone far, he observed that the landscape was growing more distinct, was brightening. Everything was suffused with a soft, red glow in which he saw his shadow projected in the road before him. The moon is rising, he said to himself. Then he remembered that it was about the time of the new moon, and if that tricksy orb was in one of its stages of visibility, it had set long before. He stopped and faced about, seeking the source of the rapidly broadening light. As he did so, his shadow turned and lay along the road in front of him as before. The light still came from behind him. That was surprising. He could not understand. Again he turned, and again, facing successively to every point on the horizon. Always the shadow was before. Always the light behind. A still and awful red. Holt was astonished. Dumbfounded is the word that he used in telling it. Yet seems to have retained a certain intelligent curiosity. To test the intensity of the light, whose nature and cause he could not determine, he took out his watch to see if he could make out the figures on the dial. They were plainly visible, and the hands indicated the hour of 11:25. At that moment, the mysterious illumination suddenly flared to an intense, almost blinding splendor, flushing the entire sky, extinguishing the stars, and throwing the monstrous shadow of himself athwart the landscape. In that unearthly illumination, he saw near him, but apparently in the air at a considerable elevation, the figure of his wife, clad in her night clothing and holding to her breast a figure of his child. Her eyes were fixed upon his with an expression which he afterwards professed himself unable to name or describe, further than it was not of this life. The flare was momentary, followed by black darkness, in which, however, the apparition still showed white and motionless. Then, by insensible degrees, it faded and vanished, like a bright image on the retina after the closing of the eyes. A peculiarity of the apparition, hardly noted at the time, but afterward recalled, was that it showed only the upper half of the woman's figure. Nothing was seen below the waist. The sudden darkness was comparative, not absolute, for gradually all objects of his environment became again visible. In the dawn of the morning, Holt found himself entering the village at a point opposite to that at which he had left it. He soon arrived at the house of his brother, who hardly knew him. He was wild-eyed, haggard, and gray as a rat. Almost incoherent, he related his night's experience. "Go to bed, my poor fellow," said his brother, "and wait. We shall hear more of this." An hour later came the predestined telegram. Holt's dwelling in one of the suburbs of Chicago had been destroyed by a fire. Her escape cut off by the flames, his wife had appeared at an upper window, her child in her arms. There she had stood, motionless, apparently dazed. Just as the firemen had arrived with a ladder, the floor had given way, and she was seen no more. The moment of this culminating horror was 11:25 standard time.
It's a good thing to know. If ever you are staring into the darkness and you see something staring back, simply say, "Boo," and it will go away. In the time we have left, I might mention several other interesting things. Don't ever brag about what you'd do if you saw a ghost. It's a sure way to get them angry at you. Don't slam doors, as you might pinch a ghost. Don't leave sharp objects like knives lying around. A ghost might sit on them. Just keep convincing yourself you aren't frightened, that you are brave, that there is nothing that can scare you. I really can't go on much longer. There's only about 3 inches of airspace between the water and the ceiling. If you will be good enough to stop this record now, before the water can rise, I shall be more than grateful. Hurry, please hurry.
It's a ghost, I tell you. It's a haunted DJ coming to... He's taking over the KMUC. It's haunt... What? Hey!
Mid-Valley Mutations.